our sin should lay us at his feet. Yes, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Remember in Genesis 4, the Bible says, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth or crouches at the door. Let's talk about these two biblical verses together. Notice, sin lieth at the door. Sin is available to and presenting itself to every human being daily. And the only way to overcome is to first be born again into the kingdom of Christ. And then Jesus teaches to watch and pray. We must watch and pray. We must vigilantly, diligently seek the Lord daily. I love 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And we must do it continually, perpetually, because sin lieth at the door. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, that we're striving against sin. Okay? It's not sin to be tempted. Every man, every woman, everyone is tempted. And yet it is sin to enter into that temptation. Notice Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh is weak, and that right there is the reason why we must watch and pray. We must be full of the Lord. We must cry out to the Lord. You must increase, but I must decrease. Otherwise, there's left a graceless vacuum that leaves us vulnerable to, and we will enter into sin if we don't watch and pray. Otherwise, such a warning and many others in Scripture would not be there. And we know that sin is deadly. Notice James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, says verse 16. That's James 1, 13 through 16. So when lust has conceived, when we allow it, and that would mean we would be a prayerless vessel. We know that because Jesus said, if you watch and pray, you will not enter into temptation. Every time nearly that Jesus speaks of the last days in warning us to be prepared always, he speaks of watching and praying. Always be abiding in Christ, seeking the face of the Lord. It must be an overt, deliberate discipline and effort, things, something we do every day. If we're not doing anything else, including breathing, we're seeking the face of the Lord. I want you to memorize 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. It will change your life. I know it has changed this disciple's life for many decades. 1 Chronicles 16, 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. It is a reality that no one is going to live a holy life. No one is going to be able to walk in holiness to avoid living in sin outside of overtly, deliberately denying self, taking up the cross and following Jesus, seeking his face continually. When you're full of Christ, you're not going to be full of sin. You're going to have victory over sin. Sin separates us from God. This is the backdrop. This is one of the most left out truths in all the modern church, and it's deliberate. Satan is a liar. You see, God is holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. Not only is it said once, not only is this attribute of God listed and spoken in the Word of God by the Lord three times in a row, not only once, but twice, once in the Old Testament and once in the New, Isaiah 6:3 and Revelation 4:8. God is holy, 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 and therefore no one can dwell with him that is going to allow sin in their life, because he's holy, holy, holy. Notice the book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 4 says, neither shall evil dwell with thee. See, no one that's evil is going to dwell with the Lord. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's Hebrews 12, 14. Again, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So sin should greatly concern us. Let me say it this way. If you love the Lord, if you're one of his, you're truly going to be concerned about that which offends him. And remember, the same list of soul-damning sins that includes fornication, murder, adultery, also drunkenness, includes strife, envyings, emulations. You see, those are all works of the flesh that indicate that someone is not walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, and I'm going to read that to you. Notice verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, notice the condition to not be under the law. You have to be led of the Holy Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Notice 17 works of the flesh, and they are soul damning. Notice adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. That would include unforgiveness, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is written to the church, saints. That was Galatians 5, 16 through 21. This is written to the body of Christ. The whole Bible is. And this book is specifically written to the body of Christ. Okay, this is a warning to those that have already been saved, that if you live in sin, you're going to fall from grace. And you're back under the law. And that's exactly what happened to many of the Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 3 in this book. This fabulous, very important component of the New Testament canon. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That should quicken each of our hearts to come unto the Lord afresh and lay down our lives and cry out to him like John the Baptist did. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. You're not going to overcome sin. Neither am I. None of us can, outside of the life of Christ teeming, dwelling in you in a big way. And that happens as you seek him and as you lay down your life and surrender afresh today, again, and you cry like John 3:30 records, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease, oh God. I lay my life. That's what I like to pray. I like to say, Lord, I lay my life right now into your hands. Lord, in Jesus' name, I commend my spirit unto thee, oh God. That's all biblical language. That's all truth. That's all fair game, if you will, for you and I to lift up to the Lord as we come afresh before him. Hosea chapter 14, I love this passage. It's just two verses, verses 1 and 2. Notice, O Israel, God says, return unto the Lord thy God. Is meant perhaps God calling you to return, turn again to him afresh today. Oh, how we need him. Jesus says that without me, ye can do nothing. And that's when he's speaking of the abiding relationship that he desires us to have with him in John 15. So God says to his people, and by the way, we are the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, the body of Christ, the New Testament church. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. See, sin, the wages of sin is death. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, as we read earlier in James 1. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, God tells his people that your sins have separated you from me. We can't live in sin, although we do strive against sin to overcome it. And we're talking about overcoming by obeying Jesus. He tells us how to overcome. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Someone has wisely stated that prayer is to your spiritual life what breathing is to your physical life. In other words, if you stop breathing, you die. And spiritually, if you stop praying, you die. May our hearts today be quickened in the holy fear of God, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, knowing that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you. He even tells us how to come to him. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me. Someone listening might feel like Jesus is mad at them, that they're dirty from their sin, and God is mad at them. No. God's not mad at you. He loves you, and he says, come unto me. He's talking to sinners of every stripe. We've all been born in sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you've done. He's calling you to himself. No different than when a father gets a phone call from a wayward child, and the child has done many things that are displeasing. And the father breaks down in tears and tells his child on the phone call, he says, son, daughter, I know what you did. I love you. I just want you to come home. Amen. Every parent knows this to be so true, even though I'm very inept at trying to explain it. And this is the way God views us. He just wants us to come home. Will you come home to the Lord today? Will you take with you words and turn to the Lord? It says here in verse 2, Hosea 14. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Amen. Just come before the Lord. Turn to him. And ask him to take away your iniquities and to receive you afresh graciously. Aren't you glad that God is ever so compassionate? Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, all the bitterness, all the affliction, all the misery. Notice those words. Jeremiah cries out, and he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, and let me encourage you to recall these truths to mind right now, as did the servant Jeremiah. Let me just say this also, that every person in the Bible that walked with God was just a human being like you are, and utterly in need of fully depending on the Lord to seek his face continually 1 Chronicles 16:11, and to watch and pray so that they wouldn't enter into temptation, because the Holy Spirit is willing, and so is their own spirit. But their flesh was weak, so they had to be continually filled with the presence, the grace, the divine enablement. That's what grace is, of God. Amen. And that comes through seeking God continually. Amen. Seeking the face of the Lord continually. That doesn't mean going to church. That means seeking the Lord every day around the clock. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And remember, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you stop praying, you will faint. That's clearly the indication there. If you're fainting, it's because you're not praying. You must pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. There are many right now already in hell, and they in a million years in Earth's time clock, they're still going to be there, suffering consciously with no diminishment of their feelings, of that pain. Mark 9:43-49. You must fight the good fight of faith. You must. If you're going to lay hold on eternal life, according to the writings of the Apostle Paul, you must fight the good fight of faith. You are in a fight, and you will not win if you don't do things God's way. The Lord wants you tucked under his arm, in his bosom. And that's why you must watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jeremiah says, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. In other words, the things that he had been through, the grief, the hopelessness, the affliction, the misery, the wormwood, the mourning, the gall, was still in remembrance. Amen. The old folks used to say, I wouldn't give nothing for my journey. Something happens when you go through those things that forever alters your life, your future, in a blessed way, in the scope of Christ's kingdom, just like it did with Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord all night, and he was broken, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. See, same thing's happening, and happens for every disciple of Jesus of all ages, that we must go through great affliction. We must go through hopeless times, struggling, strivings, misery, mourning. Amen. But then we walk when we're broken and come to dependence upon the Lord afresh and in a deeper way and sense. Then we walk with a limp for the rest of our lives, a blessed limp, if you will. A limp of dependence. We put our weight on the Lord. We no longer trust ourselves. Paul wrote that we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. So the Lamentations, Jeremiah continues and says that he has these miseries that he suffered in remembrance, and he's humbled thereby. Then he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Don't you love the hymn? Great is thy faithfulness. May God quicken a new song in your heart today. May you come before the throne of grace that he has provided for you exclusively through the blood of Jesus, the throne of grace, to obtain mercy. Why? Because you fell short, you sinned, perhaps, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16. And be encouraged to know, beloved, that God loves you. He wants you in his bosom. He wants you under his arm. He wants you in his lap. His mercies, thank God, are the reason why we're not consumed. And we can know that his compassions fail not. They are new. Every, not every other, but every single morning. Great is his faithfulness. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. And we'll be coming at you soon with a new message as we continually populate safeguardyoursoul.com by the grace of God with scripture-rich resources to help feed you in this journey, amen, and cause your faith in God to grow and cause you to be multiplied in the grace of God, and that your heart would be established in his grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.